ProFlowRadio.com.
Yeah.
ProFlowRadio.com. In the Inferno. On demand and live pro in the audio.
You are now tuned into the ProFlow for Show Show. Internationally syndicated. Act like you know. With your host, Mr. Mad Max. ProFlow for Show. www.maxseat.com. ProFlow for Show Show. Wireless phone interview feature presentation. ProFlow for Show Show. ProFlow for Show Show. ProFlow for Show Show.
Check this out.
Call is now being recorded.
All right, and I am here with. I'm here with my friend Michelle from high school, who has a particular activist group in relation to sexual assault and rape. And Michelle, if you don't mind giving your organization name so that everybody knows who you are.
My name is Michelle.
I'm sorry.
That's so funny. Whatever you guys are, you guys want to do.
Michelle McMaster, and then we have Michelle Apple.
All right, so we have two Michelles on the phone, and the group that you represent right now is called what?
Mind, Body, Soul, Survivor.
Mind, Body, Soul, Survivor. Now, Michelle, Michelle, number one, you're from Copley, Ohio, right?
Yes.
Okay, now Michelle, number two, if you don't mind, where are you from?
I'm from Illinois.
Illinois,
Pontiac,
okay.
Illinois.
All right, so we actually have we're crossing the state line, so we can consider mind, body, and soul to be national. So, if you guys don't mind telling the audience what the organization is about,
okay.
Go ahead.
I met Michelle from Illinois on her national site. And then as we got to know each other, we realized we were both advocating different ways, but for the same reasons. In Illinois, decided that I felt that perpetrators of rape, be it a male perpetrator or a female perpetrator, with molestation or rape, needed to be responsible to pay long-term restitution for families. And so I went forward to our capital and legislated a law, and then they turned around and named it after me. That is where the perpetrators of rape have to pay long-term restitution. And what that involves is that they have to, if they're found guilty, because there's no more plea bargains in my law, is that they have to sell their homes, all their assets, and kind of lose everything that we do, but not near as much as what we do of ourselves.
Wow.
And it goes to the families and also to... with molested children to the rape survivors. And women here now in Illinois have 20 years to go back and collect restitution. When it happened to me, there was no help here. There was no counseling, no agencies. So it was many, many years before I finally found help and for myself. So then Michelle and I got to talking, and she had told me about what she does, and then we have future goals to work together as well in advocating many things for families. And before I let you go, I was going to tell you, after we got the Michelle Apple Law here, we wrote to every governor in the state and also to the president at that time, to adopt my law to save other victims. And then I had read recently that Obama voted no against my law when he was senator here in Illinois. And I had to call Daily Caller out in Washington to see if that was really true. And they're like, wow. Yes. And I'm like, oh, my God, and he's our president? And he even invited children that day knowing he was going to vote no. But to make a long story short, I had cleaned out my desk drawer. And I found a letter from Washington, D.C., and I thought, how did us girls miss that, my friend? And I opened it, and it was from President Clinton. And he adopted my federal law. So it's going to be like when Obama finds that out here pretty soon, he's going to be as shocked as I was when I read about him and that he voted no and it's already there.
Yeah, so he's definitely going to be shocked.
It's just unreal.
Mm. It is unreal. I think a lot of people don't take it seriously. And I kind of wanted the audience to understand a little bit more about what sexual assault and rape includes. So if Michelle, whichever Michelle you like, one of you guys don't mind elaborating on what it is to, you know, what sexual assault is and how is that, you know, parallel to rape, basically.
Yes, sexual assault, it's any unwanted advances, contacts, sexual assault can be, someone can be having a conversation and you just overhear it and it offends you. I mean, you need to be aware of your surroundings, aware of your coworkers' rights, that they don't need to go into a hostile work environment and be berated with any kind of sexual harassment. I saw it at a bank with women. They were talking about a man, this poor man, and he was laughing it off. But you know what? I thought, you know what? The tables were turned. Why? If the tables were turned. And I think we're getting a lot of that now. And we need to all be aware that, you know, this rape culture that that this world is involved with is not good. And part of it is much about sexual harassment, you know, and people crossing the line.
Yeah, and you know, like Michelle and I were talking, sexual assault is it's not a crime of sex, it's an act of violence. And I hear many people, mostly men, that I have been somewhere and they're watching TV and something comes up about a girl that was raped. And they're like, oh, my God, did you see that short skirt she was wearing? She deserved it. And I so badly, I've had a chuckle, and I so badly wanted to turn around and say, oh, my gosh, yes, you know, you could get so rich, I said, off of her. I said, you could call the designer of the skirt. You could call the manufacturer. You can call the lady that, you know, made the building, the designer, and also even the sales clerk, because, you know, she sold her that short skirt, and somebody forgot to put that label on it, the most important label. Do not wear this skirt, or you will be raped. I mean, you know, that's sometimes how I feel. It's kind of funny, it's kind of sad, but that is how our society treats victims, because the media, in my eyes, is that they portray too much about the victim, and she did not or he did not commit the crime. And I would like to see more about the perpetrator's upbringing, or have they raped again, have they beat their wives, because there's a reason why they're doing it. We need to focus on that.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but when I met with the grand jury with my case, actually somebody asked me what I was wearing. And I thought to myself, years down the road, I was like, you know, what did that have to do with the case at all? And why are these uneducated people allowed to talk to me?
So we have to bring awareness to society. And the thing is, what the most worst about it is that it is like a murder. within ourselves. I felt like my soul was murdered and my spirit could no longer fly, you know, because we lose everything we are. We don't. We have to start all over like a baby, and a baby learns, you know, to eat and grows to a diaper and then potty training to victims. We have to find out who we are after rape, and it doesn't happen overnight. We don't just get over it. And society tells you that. Get over it. Move on. You can't. So you work through it.
You can see the depth of sexual assault, how it affects people, and you know, just the level of intensity is I think definitely underestimated. People don't realize how deeply it affects victims and how it disrupts families, and it could be a very, 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 very strong distraction.
We have more kids in juvie halls and young adults in prison because their little minds can't comprehend what's been done to them, so they turn to drugs, they turn to alcohol, which then might lead to a crime, and we have more perpetrators on the streets. I've researched that, and that's sad that they're not always charging the perpetrators.
So, Michelle in Ohio, I wanted to ask you, because Mind, Body, and Soul, we had an interview prior to this one, and it was just getting started. Can you tell me a little bit about how you've grown over the time that we talked last time?
Well, now we have 30 groups in specific different countries all over the world.
Yeah.
From 5 different countries. We have one in Nigeria, Lagos, Nigeria,
wow.
New Delhi, and Calcutta.
So it's like essentially it seems that
Scotland,
you said?
Yeah.
It seems that, it's unfortunate that it's got to be an international kind of thing where it's happening everywhere, where everybody needs the support and everybody needs that particular movement in the area because it's so prevalent around everywhere you go. I'm sure in different countries it gets worse just depending on the law systems and the way things work over there. If you guys, considering that you guys are teaming up, and I see that this movement is gaining momentum, what kind of things, you know, because Michelle in Illinois, she's got the law legislation, you know, jumping over there. You know, what kind of things do you guys see in the future happening for the development of, you know, protection rights for sexual assault?
I'm fighting in Illinois to come forward again to the Capitol for mandatory police reports because some choose not to take it. It's not in their hands, but it's his word against her word. If you don't have a police officer or a judge or a lawyer as your friend, you're pretty much screwed here in Illinois. But the thing is that also we're having difficulty trying to get that done because the police are union, and then they want to be paid to come in for the state training. I'm asking that they are trained before they are, you know, either in their last class in school, that they have to take the 60-hour training like I did and pass the state test so they know how to deal with domestic violence, rape, molestation, and elderly abuse. So that may work. We might not be able to get the ones that are police right now to do it, but the ones that are becoming, we are going to try to see where we can put that, and probably before they graduate, they'll have to take the class.
It's so prevalent that the statistics, we have 1 out of 6 males being raped, we have 1 out of 4 females being raped. That's a lot of people. And
children.
Only 11% of cases are actually prosecuted. So the statistics are very off. and I hope to get better statistics.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would
and
be great.
You develop like PTSD that here we have severe tornadoes, homes are lost, people are killed. They develop PTSD. You know, those things are not easy for a person to live with because you trigger from sound, sight, smells. That will always be with you for life, but you can learn, and I want women can learn coping skills, that trauma therapy is really what trauma therapy gives you, you know, skills to get through PTSD or depression or anxiety. But it
makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense, but being PTSD is
I would like to see, like you're telling.
Yeah.
Like, hopefully, what did we say, Michelle? Get a little.
We would love to start great for survivors eventually and just work on survival skills from rape. This will be for men and women of all ages, and we hope to just really, yes, and we hope to really just have a healing place for them, because right now, currently, they are thrown in with all sorts of problems, problem people, and it's a very scary situation for a survivor, and this way... everybody will be trained, we know the issue, and we can actually make an effect before they turn to drugs and alcohol.
Yeah. Sounds like prevention.
Yeah, and offering
and
spiritual.
Like a lot of different things, yeah.
Yeah, spiritual help, because I know myself, I was angry at God for 34 years. I just took him back into my life when I had open heart surgery, because I blamed him, you know. For everything. I talked to him worse than I would a human being and just left him. You know, life's not that easy when you're trying to control it yourself. This doesn't work.
So what do you guys say to people? I mean, considering what you went through, the scenario you just gave me, that was a deep, you know, you laugh about it, but that's really serious and you went through it. So, like, I know there's people out there right now that are going through it, you know, they might need you to talk to them directly. So what'd you say to someone, whether it's male or female right now, that went through the situation, whether it was like a minor type of sexual assault or something very, very extreme? What would you say to them to help them get through it and to find help?
Which one are you asking? I didn't know.
Both, honestly. Or anybody.
Go ahead, Michelle.
No, you go ahead, Michelle.
All right, honey.
You
know what I would say to them? Have hope. If you don't have hope, I have a hope for you. And Michelle here has a hope for you. And come to our group on Facebook, Mind, Body, Soul Survivor. And you'll find a bunch of people that were in the same situation as you, and or similar one. And we all are here for each other, just trying to bring each other up. We do not want you to waste your life anymore with the fear and the flashbacks and the same feeling alone. You are not alone, and our voice can be strong together.
Mm-hmm. And now, you know, it's a very, very dark world that they can slip into, and find a way to hide within ourselves. I did it for a long, long time. But I encourage them to talk about it. I was taught through my family to forget it, move on, get to the past, you know, don't think about it. You bury it all inside yourself, and in the long run, we lose. To reach out to someone they trust, which is hard after that, because sometimes families aren't supportive, they don't understand. Just to reach to someone that they feel like on the site of Mind, Body, Soul, to talk to us, to journal. Journal for me brought me to books that I had published. I encourage them not to be alone and not to let go of God, as hard as it is, because that's what's going to get them through. You know, that's what's helped me after 33 years. I found my way. I gave up on everything, and that it's okay to lose who you were, because you will learn to love who you become after rape.
Wow. That's deep. So that's really deep. I wanted to ask other questions. It's kind of weird to ask this kind of question, but I wanted to know, because a lot of course, if with so much sexual assault going on, there's got to be people that are committing, there's so many people committing crimes, and I know not everybody is evil forever. Some people might repent, some people might turn, you know, reprove themselves, change their lives, serve their time, or whatever it takes, you know, but to the people that have committed the crimes, that may be having a hard time with actually trying to maybe come to grips with what they've done, or maybe help the actual community that has been involved with this whole thing. Like, if somebody who actually committed a rape and they have repented themselves, like, what advice would you have to them? Would you suggest that they become part of some kind of group somewhere to help maybe improve the situation? Or, like, how do you handle that kind of thing?
Well, I have an idea. It's after somebody basically murders somebody, you know, that's what rape is, murder.
Right, right.
And we're left not much of a person after, until
right.
years of therapy. But I do know a friend of mine has raped before, so I kind of have the situation in mind. And I knew this person, and I knew that they were not all bad, you know, but they had some sick notion inside them.
Yeah.
Maybe one fatal night. But, you know, I try to forgive my attackers. Right now, I feel as though I have, and I let them go, but for them to try to get into the community again, you know, it's hard, but if they could talk to the youth about how respecting women, respecting men, respecting each other, you know, and, you know, that with the supervision of a cop, but
yeah.
I just,
yeah, I feel that. Right.
You know,
but
the sad thing.
Look how you show. Michelle?
Honey? Yeah.
What about you?
Very good. What I was thinking on my end is here with some of the women that I work with, the perpetrators may stop 10 years. The high percentage is they repeat it. And very few recover, but thank God for those that do. I talked to my minister when I just couldn't find God and I didn't want him a couple years ago. And I was afraid of God. And I decided in reading the Bible where it says, you know, you take, if you have a problem with someone, you confront that person. And then you take 7 witnesses with you if they don't listen. So they cannot turn around and say, well, she said, when you didn't. So I took all 7 witnesses with me and I went to where my perpetrator was. And I went to him and I had told him, I said, you know, and I put my hands up like looking through a camera and I said, you know, I used to see you as this great, big, huge monster with arms of steel. I said, I look at you now and you're just this puny little shriveled up man. I said, you will no longer live in my mind rent free. I will no longer be afraid of you. I am not letting you control me in my mind. I am letting go of you. You go in peace, because the one you're going to deal with and you have to answer to like everybody else is God. And I said, so you go in peace. Well, he lost it and came following all of us witnesses out the door and myself, just stating it was a bad, bad night. It was a bad, bad night. He's active again. He's active again, but the thing of it is, it helped me to confront him and let go, because it will eat you up and kill you inside.
Yeah.
You can't live and be free till you confront your problem, and he was my problem. after what I lost.
That's crazy. I when I asked the question, I was kind of clueless to the answer, but now I kind of understand. I think that personally, if it's committed, I think that individual needs to just stay away from just that whole idea of trying to merge back into it and just focus on themselves for the rest of their lives, because it's obviously an issue that, like you said, could resurface, and it's probably best for them to just focus on themselves rather than to be trying to deal with their victim, you know, that kind of stuff. So I do understand that more clearly. It's amazing. If you don't mind, yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask you something and you tell
yes.
me what you think?
Yeah.
I have heard many lawyers or judges or, you know, different people say, well, you know, if the victim wouldn't have been in the bar and had drinks, maybe it wouldn't have happened. And I had said, well, you know, here's my opinion on that. I said, number one, if you know, everybody that is drinking, be it male, female, at a party or whatever they're doing, wouldn't everybody be raping everybody? How can a judge blame alcohol? You know, everybody...
I think that's totally backwards. Yeah, I think it's just an excuse for different judges to try to get away with it.
Yeah, and they do it in secluded areas. So to me, it's premeditated. No rapist will attack someone in public. They know what they are doing. It's premeditated.
Probably, it's a desire that has developed. They've cultivated a desire. They've waited on the right moment to, you know, to try to actually experiment with it. So, you know, I do know it's a predator type of thing. I think that for anyone to make excuses, whether it's the way a person dresses or where a person was at or who they were with or how they talk, you know, their culture, their color or whatever, alcohol, even drugs. I mean, I know some psychotic drugs will make you do crazy things, but even that, you know, those things come from some places. A lot of people that take psychotic drugs that don't do that.
Right, and anybody can be a prey. You know, I never thought it would happen to me, and it did.
Right.
I never really
right.
thought about it back then, but it can happen to anybody. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're in Congress or you're the president, it could happen to your daughter, your wife, yourself. A perpetrator doesn't care. If you're going to, in the way, to be a prey, you're going to be the prey.
That's the truth. That is the truth. Now, where can they find you at online again, both of you guys? You guys have like separate websites or a joint website?
They can find us at Mind Body Soul Survivor International. We're on Facebook. We also have a blog on WordPress called Mind Body Soul Survivor Rape Support at WordPress.com.
Cool.
And that's our blog with all our tips to getting over, hopefully. Not getting over, I'm sorry, but working through the issues.
If anybody wants to contact me, they can Google on Yahoo and see my work here in Illinois. And I think my email might be on there if they have questions about... they can look up the Public Act, because if it's federal, everybody's going to be able to use it. And here in Illinois, they're pretty sure it is, that that's what Clinton got. So everybody can use it.
And anybody's welcome to friend me on Facebook. My Facebook name is Shell Bell.
S-H-E-L Bell.
S-H-E-L-B-E-L-L.
Right. And
yeah.
Not Michelle,
bad.
Are you on Facebook too?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
That's where we're working on currently.
I'll make sure that the links are on the webpage.
Groups, but we want to use the national Mind Body Spirit. So.
Mind Body Spirit.
If you ever need to email me.
Mind Body Spirit.
Cool, man. I enjoyed talking with you guys. I'll make sure that all the links for your sites are on the webpage where the interview will be at. It'll probably be posted on the same area that I had last time. I'm not really sure how I did it last time, but I'll make sure it's very accessible. And we'll do some press this time. I didn't do that last time. And we'll get it definitely broadcast. I'm very satisfied with the information that was broadcast on this interview. So if you guys have anything else that you'd like to say, this will be the time for sure.
I just hope they come more, you know, that they talk more about it openly so families and men and women and children can feel free to talk about it and not feel the shame and the guilt that the society brings to us. I know people, I don't really expect society to understand until they've walked through it, but I do expect perpetrators to know no is no. And they either stop it and or life sentence is the way I feel about it.
Yeah, I can agree with that one. You want to say anything, Michelle?
Ohio,
Michelle.
Well, I completely agree with Michelle. You know, this is a life sentence that we're given. And the perpetrator gets off pretty easy. And if he ever does, or she ever does, get the opportunity to go back in the community, I hope that they would never do it again because the pain is so hard. And the journey is very long. And I can tell you not many can come out the other end without the support that we provide in our groups. Families can provide in their homes and professionals can provide. It's a support system that we need. And if we can all work together, hopefully we can get these statistics down.
You're absolutely right. And to get the spiritual, you know, the politicians say, oh, you know, God bless the USA, and I'm going to this and I'm going to that, because we go by the Bible, and we are the disciples of the world. You know, there's, I can't give you all the verses and Psalms right now, but I encourage victims to go in and read, or politicians, and they can question, am I really improving or helping just one victim in my life?
Yeah.
You know, there's a story of Ruth, but God does not allow that. It, you know, they'll say, oh no, God loved it and that's why we're, you know, didn't care and that's why we're doing it. Not doing anything about it because it's okay. Well, no. Certain places of the Bible, it is not okay. And perpetrators' restitution is paid for. They're taken. They don't have to worry. They're taken here and they're taken there. We are left. Oh gosh, I need a psychiatrist. Where do I go? Oh my gosh, I'm going crazy. Where do I go? Who do I talk to? I think I'm, you know, falling apart. What do I do? We don't have that guidance. I'd like to find a way to find guidance so that a victim can freely make the decision when he or she is ready to go. And the resources are available through what Shell and I can do for them.
Yes.
Through our group.
Totally. Yes, that's crazy. It was one thing I was going to say, I wanted to ask you guys. One more thing, but I can't even remember now. Of course, I forgot about it. I just wanted to tell you guys that we're in the process of producing a show for Summit DD in this area. And they want me to do like 5 hours a week. And they want to broadcast it to, you know, Northeast Ohio. So I'm going to be asking you guys to come back in a month or so, and maybe we can like do a recurring kind of thing. We talk maybe once a month, maybe once or twice a month. Just have some issues, maybe have a hotline or something like that. We never know what we can really do. But I see that my platform is being pushed towards, you know, these kind of positive things, you know, for the community. So I would love to incorporate what you guys have as part of a major segment because it's a huge, I need content to fill up the show and it has to be positive. So I didn't think about it, but I knew that we could do this. So I'm definitely going to be contacting Michelle's about, you know, plotting, you know, making some promos for your segment and all that kind of stuff and getting things, maybe we can do some public service announcements as well so we can put it on the radio show.
I've got many, board members. I've got, four other board members that don't mind speaking.
Cool. That's what we're going to need them. We're going to need them all eventually.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah,
I'm going to definitely down
the here in Illinois.
Yeah, I would love to talk to everybody.
Michelle and I are going to Florida.
When?
To meet up and run it together.